Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Friday, August 21st, 2020. You can check us out on Twitter at the DeFi Daily, where we post links to the articles we discuss and show updates, or you can check us out online at thedefidaily.com. As always, thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a DeFi investment and digital asset management platform that does allocation monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Okay, first let's start. Let's see how the market is doing. Bitcoin prices are back down 2% only though in the last 24 hours, trading at 11,623. ETH is also down, but by 5.42%, trading once again below 400, coming in at 394. And we pulled those numbers from CoinMarketCap. All right, Pat, first let's talk about some yield stuff. So yield farming is a really hot topic right now. Maybe you could talk to us a bit more about all that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go through some of the yield farming numbers this week. Obviously, with Ethereum and Bitcoin being down, we're seeing good farming rates on the inverse pools. So Synthetix runs their iPools or iETH and their iBitcoin, which are both driven off the inverse of the respective coins. Those right now, according to yieldfarming.info, are running 122% for the iETH pool farming rates and 99% APY for the iBitcoin rate. iBitcoin pool. Other big winners is the Wi-Fi I to DAI balance pool, which is running 325% right now. This is sort of a similar thing. I think that this is a bit of a misnomer. Obviously, yield itself is not yielding this much, but the Wi-Fi I, which is a fork of yield, is seeing a similar run up in its price for tokens to what yield was seeing. And I think that we're kind of seeing some spillover from there. Other ones above the 100% APY line, the Mstable Uniswap pool is running 120%, and the Mstable USD MTA pool is running at 76%. So pretty close up there.
All right, great. Why don't we talk next about a network we haven't mentioned too much on the show, Algorand. They recently unveiled a fresh set of smart contract features and a bunch of updates that were aimed at luring away DeFi projects from other platforms. And so they saw a big bump in their token price yesterday. It's since fallen back down to where it was. But Pat, let's discuss a little about Algorand.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more and more coins are going to come after the Ethereum crown. I mean, what's happened at this point is that Ethereum has drawn a line in the sand as the platform for DeFi. And so there are a lot of blockchains out there that are doing other things. You have EOS that has really, really, really short, uses DAGs to do really short block times. You know, Ethereum's normal block time is 13 seconds, but it gets really busy. And so right now we've been seeing, you know, block times at 13 seconds, but it's hard to get your transactions in. EOS uses a sharded structure that gets more transactions in, and it closes blocks every like 1 to 5 seconds. So, you know, EOS is out there. Algorand is one that's really prided itself on building a very robust set of smart contract tooling on top of it. There's a few other interesting projects out there that are doing different ways of approaching the problem. So some really take a developer-centric view, some take a more financy kind of view. At the end of the day, you know, we're going to see more and more projects that are coming hard after Ethereum, and they're trying to capitalize on DeFi today. So they're going to be trying to capitalize with marketing verbiage like stateful smart contracts, which honestly doesn't really mean much of anything, because all of Ethereum's contracts, if they want to be, can be stateful. So, you know, keep an eye on these things, watch them. But the king for DeFi is still Ethereum. So stick with that.
Great. So yesterday we discussed a bit about the growing demand for having Bitcoin on the Ethereum network, specifically to be used in DeFi. And so today I thought we could discuss a little bit more about Weath, Wrapped Bitcoin, maybe Wren, some of the other tokens out there that are doing this.
Yeah. So the drive towards DeFi, one of the major enabling technologies for DeFi has been, and I'm sure everyone's heard this, but you might not know the details, it was this proposal to the Ethereum group, which was called which was ERC-20. So if you ever heard of an ERC-20 token, that is a standardized proposal. It's a proposal for a standard contract, a code level contract that anyone can code against that gives you the ability to have these tokens. So an ERC-20 token, essentially what it's saying is it's a standard that anyone can use that token, that model, that contract. And as long as one of the other contracts, as long as a contract that's out there matches the ERC-20 specification. So it's a series of calls and variables and different interactions between the contracts. As long as your token matches that, you can use it for pretty much anything. So for instance, the explosion in different yield farming balancer pools or all the different pools that are out there, the way Uniswap in general works, like Uniswap would not be possible if you had to custom build a contract for every single pool that you wanted to build. But because you can just use ERC-20 tokens contract, then what you can do is you can add any ERC-20 token almost immediately to Uniswap. So almost the foundational pieces of DeFi have really come down to this idea of having these ERC-20 tokens. Well, it's interesting. There are actually a few different coins that don't adhere to that ERC-20 token contract. And a great example is Ethereum itself. So on the Ethereum blockchain, when you move Ethereum between two people, it's not an ERC-20 contract call. It's a native call to the Ethereum, to the blockchain. It's a native EVM call. And so in order to get Ethereum into the ecosystem for DeFi, you either need to custom code your contract to basically be able to handle either Ethereum or an ERC-20 token, or you use something called wrapping, where you essentially take you take Ethereum and you wrap it in a ERC-20 compliant contract. So that's what WEATH is. WEATH is essentially, it's a contract. I send it to Ethereum. It sends me back this wrapped ETH that I can then use in any smart contract that's aware of ERC-20 tokens. That also then goes for BTC and RenBTC and these other ones. Basically, anytime you want to make other coins, other blockchains like BTC or like Algorand or any of those, if you wanted to take those coins and put it into Ethereum and make it usable in DeFi, you would use wrapping. Now, there are some issues when you go across blockchains. Depending on the way they've implemented their smart contract or the way they've implemented their wrapping, it might be more of a custodial solution than an actual, with something like WEATH, which is wrapped Ethereum, that is a smart contract on the Ethereum blockchain that has been audited. So I have a ton of confidence that when I send my ETH to the WEATH contract, they will send me back WEATH. But with something like RenBTC, it's not as clear that that's going to be a long-lived truth. When I send them BTC, I'm relying on their mechanisms for doing cross-chain swaps to send me back the RenBTC on the other side. And I'm not at all clear what their storage practices are for their BTC. So there's a lot still to be figured out here. They might have a very good answer for that. We'll kind of look into that over the next few months, but it exposes more liability as part of the process.
Interesting. All right. Well, I think that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening to the DeFi Daily, and have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend.